Welcome. I'm Sarah Pollock.
And I'm Quinn Faison. And we're parent coaches at Plan P, where we believe in the power of practice.
As parents, we have been there through the teen years. And sometimes being there was a rough road. We learned the P was for many things, and always for practice, patience, and pause. From burping a baby to parenting emerging adult children, there is no right or wrong way. We're humans. We learn by doing.
The work that we do now as coaches has the full support and approval of our amazing children and our greatest teachers, Allie and Harrison. So if you're a parent, you've come to the right place. We're going to give you tools to practice clear communication with your children, which will improve your relationships.
We're excited to have you join us on this parenting path that passes through the adolescent years, where learning is in the pause and perfection is found in practicing. So let's get moving. Hello, and welcome back to Plan P, the podcast where we keep on planning, not plotting on parenting. It's a pleasure to be here with all of you and with you, Quinn.
This week, we thought we'd talk about social media because the new book by Jonathan Haidt, his talks on YouTube, interviews on podcasts, the attention is on social media. And we talked about this a little bit when the Surgeon General warning came out, but we're getting more and more evidence about social media and trying to navigate that. And it's navigation, it's not cutting off, right?
Right. And we're also talking to a lot of parents who are, it's not obsessed, but are very focused on how to control their child's social media use. Really concerned about it. It's just concern. It's not obsession. It's awareness that this social media business is taking a lot of their children's time and energy, and they are scared about what's going on there because there are several children who have a ton of social media accounts, different places that they post, different things that they post.
It's not a technology that we, most of us parents, grew up with. So our understanding of how they're using it and why they're using it is a little limited because our view of it is different than their view of it.
Some of the parents I'm working with were at the very beginning of social media. It mm-hmm. was part of their lives. So, oh yeah, when it was MySpace, it was Facebook, it was just beginning. It wasn't even so ad laden as it is now. It wasn't,
right.
those were new places to connect, places to belong.
Right.
And talking with lots of parents about this brought me back to one of the things that we have been trained in, which is positive discipline, which is kind and firm way of parenting, which people think of a lot as younger children. But it brought me back to reading some of the positive discipline books and other things that we have studied through the years. And I just want to read this one quote, which is from the completely revised and updated positive discipline, which says, a child's primary goal is to belong, to feel significant. I think that we're all children in some ways, forever.
Yeah, yeah. I think man's search for meaning shows that even as adults, we are still looking to belong and be significant.
Yes, I believe that. And these teenage years in which their brains are developing, and that really is so much a part of their confusion, really, because these are the years in which we belong to our family and we are developing new relationships with the outside world in a new and different way. They are even more significant than they were in our preteen or our toddler years.
Well, it's one of the things that teenagers are doing is finding those outside places where they belong. In part because genetics, right? We want to be branching out and getting more diversity in our genetics. So it's built into us biologically to go seek out different groups to belong to. And so the peer group becomes incredibly important to fit into.
Yes. And to feel significant
right
then. I'm going to continue reading from this quote because it's really good. The first two concepts are brought together here as we see that the goal of all behavior, okay, all behavior, is to achieve a sense of belonging and significance within the social environment. And their social environment is opening up into the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And they have social media now as part of that. Misbehavior is based on a mistaken belief about how to achieve belonging and significance.
Right.
I just think that all so hits on, you know, their misbehavior is based on a mistaken belief. And we as parents get to be sort of home base. These are years where we get to watch them walk off into the world and also have a core belief that they belong with the family. And in that Jonathan Haidt way, in his previous book, he talks about preparing the child for the road, not the road for the child.
Yeah, I love that quote. Because I think one of the things that we hear a lot is trying to buffer the child, which is trying to create the road that has no pitfalls, and how that leads to people who don't know how to deal with pitfalls when they hit them, and they're going to hit them in their lives.
Yeah, there are potholes.
Yes.
How big the pothole? Did I see that coming? All that stuff.
Yeah.
And if they have a belief that we are there as home base, if we build that foundation and they believe and trust us, then when they hit those potholes that maybe swallowed up the car, because we've all seen those potholes.
I think those are called sinkholes once they get that large, but whatever. Yes.
Well, but they're potholes that can do damage and cause accidents.
Right.
Because that social network, those social media networks are not going to come to save them.
Yeah. And you want your kids, or I want our kids, to have the ability to call us and their friends. We're not always available. So having more than one person to call, having that network, not just a point of reference, but a network of support. And that comes from friends and, you know, family members and mentors, and a network is coming from all sorts of directions.
And it's of live humans who you actually can communicate with via telephone, not just social media, not all the relationships they build online that feel real. That I think is part of the confusion of the likes, and this person really liked it and they commented.
I think there are a couple of things going on in social media. And one is we can find our people. We can find people who have like sensibilities or ideas. And that can be really affirming. As someone who felt very isolated when I was young, because I didn't know any gay people that were near my age. So being able to find those communities is incredibly good. And you can find communities that are not helpful, right? So what are you doing online? Is it lifting you up? Or is it dragging you down, right? So I want to read a little out of one of my favorite books, it seems, because I look at it all the time, is The Emotional Lives of Teenagers by Lisa D'Amour. She says that we do know, and I believe that that's the psychiatric or mental health community, we do know that texting, sharing content, and commenting on other people's posts seems to boost adolescent well-being, but mindless scrolling likely contributes to emotional discomfort. So this being able to build community is great, but just seeing what everybody else is doing in the world is not so great. And because social media is built with these algorithms that are supposed to get us juiced so that we will see things and like things and want things and buy things, gets us scrolling and looking at things we can't achieve or can't do or feel out of reach or feel like everybody else has, but we don't. So it's alienating. So finding that balance, that healthy place, can be quite tricky for adults and way more tricky for teenagers who are in the midst of that emotional turmoil of adolescence.
There are years when they want to belong so desperately to other groups. And it's hard to do that. It always has been hard to do that since the beginning of time.
Right.
There have been, you know, cliques.
Yeah.
And now the cliques are just worldwide.
Yeah. It did make me think of Mean Girls, you know, like how that social manipulation happens in these years of, you know, I'm the confident one, so you're going to follow me no matter what cliff I march you off.
Right. And they're all looking for which place am I seen and heard and valued within that community. And the other thing about social media is a lot of it's anonymous.
Right.
So I think that anonymity feels safe. Oh, I'm going to try on this personality. Let's see what they, oh, but I've got another profile. I'm going to try on this personality. Which one do I get more reaction from? And in that way that you're talking about, it's going down the rabbit hole only doing that. And we all know know how much time they spend on their phones.
Right.
So as parents who will never have the same perspective, never have, never will.
Right.
Because when we were teenagers, it was completely different than when our kids were teenagers. And the parents we talk to have yet another experience than our experience. Every generation keeps learning when we are willing to find that place of stepping back and stepping forward too. What you were just talking about in balance is like, how do we as parents or the parents we work with find that place of appreciating their child's perspective rather than reacting all over it?
And that leads me back to Lisa DeMore, who says, ask a lot of questions, though not all at once. Too many questions is the number one complaint I hear from my own teenager. Over time, try to learn what your teenager enjoys most about being online and what's annoying, frustrating, or unsettling. Ask what, if anything, your teen has done to try to make the time spent online more positive. And if you're an avid tech user, talk openly about navigating some of your challenges. And the other thing she says in here at a different point is, we do not use technology the way our teens do. Adolescents, like the rest of us, are usually reluctant to take advice from someone who may not know what they're talking about. You might say that teens are likely to receive our guidance on managing their relationship with technology about the same way we would their guidance on refinancing our mortgage.
I love that because it's such a reality check.
Right, because we really don't know what we're talking about from their point of view. I mean, because technology has changed and what we're doing on technology is going to be miles different from what they're doing on technology.
And I love also, somewhere in there, Lisa DeMore says, and I don't know if you read this part. If you did read it, I didn't hear it. She says, don't overwhelm them with questions.
Right.
And we talk about this a lot in the podcast. Change takes time.
Mm.
We, as parents, we want to like, I heard this on a podcast, now I'm going to do it. And then I listen to another podcast and I'm like, oh, this is what I'm going to do today. And that's urgency that our kids aren't going to listen to it.
Right.
They're not going to believe it. They're not going to feel like they belong if we are questioning, because we are questioning, and also trying to get our opinion in so that they hear our wisdom, so that we are paving the road for them, paving over the potholes. They don't feel like they belong because we're not listening.
Yeah.
It's a slow process and it could take a year, and parents get very nervous and scared in that year.
Which makes me think of something else about social media, right? The other piece of social media, which goes back to the anonymity of it, right? Because I'm not looking you in the eye, my belonging is from the thumbs up that I'm getting. If I'm mean, I may get more thumbs up because I will only see the, you know, the people jumping on what I'm saying and agreeing with me.
Right.
But I don't see the hurt that I'm causing. When I'm one-on-one, face-to-face with you, I can see that what I'm doing is mean. It may not stop me, but I can see the impact I'm having on the person that I'm dissing. And I can see the impact of everybody jumping on. There's something about in person and the impact that we're having that also talks to the belonging, right? When I'm doing something positive and getting all that positive thing in person, there's more community feeling around it than just the thumbs up.
Yeah, in person, if you're bullying in a school setting, for instance,
right,
then someone, there's a hand raised, schools that are paying attention, it's hard for them to know.
Well, right,
because I'm here to say that when I was in middle school a million years ago, bullying happened.
Yeah.
And sometimes kids learn to live with it and sometimes they raise their hand, but there is a difference between what happens online at a very large, very anonymous, and I get to feel important because everyone jumped on my bandwagon. In the school setting, there's an opportunity to sort of sit down with the kids and say, you did this and that hurt this person.
Right.
And then they'll go back to their group of friends and they'll continue to be the mean girls or the mean boys sometimes.
Right.
And we can have the conversations one-on-one with our children. And when we had that conversation with Harrison, when we were aware that there was bullying going on, Harrison was very clear. He did not want us to bring it to the school. One of the many things that I wish I'd done differently is listen to him more, dig a little deeper, get a little more support. Not the school's fear-based support, because schools are often very, very scared these days because they're trying to respond and be responsible, which is a very hard thing to do, period.
Right.
So if we can build relationships with our children, where at least we, you don't want me to. Okay, so let's talk about it here. How did that feel? I'm not, you know, I was so overprotective, coddling one might say, if one was Jonathan Haidt, that, you know, I didn't know how to deal with it without taking over.
Right.
And so maybe I did the best that I could. I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah.
You know, it's that, oh, I should have, I could have, I wish that I could have. And it's like, well, coming to the place of accepting that we couldn't have done it differently in the past. We're here in the present. We did what we did in the past. And part of appreciating is just appreciating that I can't change the past. It's where it is. Who do I want to be today? And how can I bring the new courage that I have built up as a parent of seeing my child and letting them have their feelings, which takes time to build a relationship where they trust me with those.
Right.
So I think that social media is here right now. Too many people are making too much money on it to go away. Has anyone listening bought anything that was plunked in front of them on social media in the last 24 hours, 48 hours, week, month, year? You and I know from a previous business, you have to have a lot of money to get likes. And we talk to other people who are trying to build businesses online, understanding how much profit is to be made by so many different people. So the kids, they're influencers. They want to be influencers. They want to belong. They want to be part of. I was talking to someone the other day who was like, you know, my 9-year-old has a whole YouTube channel on how to put on makeup, which makes me really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Okay, so can we have a makeup party at our house? She came to. Mm. Let's bring it to the
real world.
Right. I'm not going to necessarily stop her. I really want to say no to that. I want to do the just say no.
Mm, right, which never works. You're referencing the Nancy Reagan drug policy that totally didn't work because everybody who used that phrase used it jokingly, right, at least in our circles.
Right. Just saying no is being authoritarian. I mean, I remember hearing about the girls who went to Catholic school who would roll their skirts up.
Right.
Right? They would pull their skirts down for school and then roll them up to mini skirts. So there's always some way that they will take their own power back.
Right, because they're trying to fit in with not us.
Right. In that whole campaign, the only person I knew who had a big button that said, just say no, I bought drugs from him. Yeah. And the people who came up with that and spent a lot of money on advertising and public service announcements, right, and billboards, people believed. Who believed it?
Well, no one using drugs.
It so. Was, and parents today still are trying to convince their children it's an unhealthy thing. I mean, it's the same thing as this is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. That was another public service announcement, right, that did not work. And now there are lots of things that get memes made fun of. Again, it's that believing that you belong.
Well, and it's that trying to convince people that what is happening is quote unquote bad when they don't see bad consequences. The actual way to convince people that something is bad is to let them look at the consequences in their own lives, right? And so that goes back to the asking them questions like, what makes you uncomfortable about this? What makes you comfortable about this? What are you looking for? What are you getting?
What are you, getting? Tell so me that, a little about that.
So that those things get separated out, and it's not just all social media is bad, because technology is not inherently bad. It's how we use it, right? So social media is not this awful thing. It's how we use it. And because of the algorithms, we are being asked to use it in a particular way, which is not very helpful. Doesn't mean there aren't helpful aspects to it. I mean, I think the start of Facebook, that idea of creating community online, is not a bad idea. It's a very helpful idea.
Yeah, and I think in the beginning he said he wasn't going to use ads.
Well, a lot of things have changed.
Right.
Google's original motto was, don't be evil, I think.
Right.
But things change over time. As people use things and do things, you find what are now called hacks.
Yeah.
We hack everything, right?
Right.
And that's part of the evolutionary process, right? To see things and say, oh, well, if I just do this, maybe that would be a little faster, easier, whatever,
right,
more enjoyable, whatever the thing is, right? So we hack stuff all the time. So things change and how we use them, you know, it's good to try to be mindful about, are those changes really the ones we want to make?
Well, and listening to you, I'm also thinking about building relationships and how do we get information in? It's not by being absolute.
Right.
It's by valuing others' viewpoints, others' perspectives, and understanding that beliefs change. These children, these adolescents are at a huge point of change.
Right.
And there are lots of opportunities to come together, not come apart. And And in that risk way, and I don't remember which book this is in, but it's in a book and I will reference it in the show notes, that teenagers understand risk. They look at risk and they understand that this is more dangerous and they still do the more dangerous.
Teenagers do absolutely understand risk. And I think Lisa D'Amour says there's the hot reasoning and the cold reasoning. So if you do cold reasoning, they absolutely get it. It's just that when they're surrounded by their peers, it starts to be hot reasoning, which is a little riskier.
As adults, we do the same thing, right?
Absolutely.
I really want this, but it costs more than I really should. It's not really in my budget, but I really want it. And I'm supposed to take care of myself, so I'm going to do it. And then regret comes later. And hopefully as we age, we learn to make those decisions a little more responsibly every year.
Well, and it's even keeping up with the Joneses, right?
Oh, yes.
You know, like, why do I want this thing so badly right now? Sometimes it's because other people have it and seem to be enjoying their Apple Watch or whatever it is that, you know, later I realize is not actually doing anything for me that I want.
Well, children of all ages, thank you, positive discipline. Mm-hmm. Cost-benefit analysis is not their strong suit. We all build on that ability to recognize what is the value of A versus B. What's our impulse? Our impulse is to eat the marshmallow or whatever that test was.
Right. Not to wait.
Not to wait.
Yeah.
That's forever for all of us. And there are certain moments where we are more able to pause.
Yeah.
And the teenage years where they feel really urgent because we haven't paved the road well enough for them is really the perfect opportunity to hit the pause a little more and help them learn to drive.
Mm.
And recognize that sometimes there's someone around you who's not paying attention. And as a defensive driver, you get to sort of, you know, if we see someone weaving, I'm like, I'm standing behind that person because,
right,
like, I don't know the circumstances. I'm going to stay back to get around them so that I can proceed on my way. But sometimes I hit things and then all of a sudden I have a blowout.
Right.
So we get to teach our children life's full of potholes. Where are the potholes? Where are the rabbit holes? What's your awareness? And little, you know, make yourself like maybe two questions per day. Hit your max.
Over time, right? It's about building that relationship around social media, having an ongoing conversation where you are trustworthy, where you are not saying, oh, don't do this or that's bad, or you're just trying to collect information and get them to think about it. Because as you were saying before, teenagers can reason. You want to develop that muscle. That's what the part of the brain that's coming online. So having conversation with them about it and letting them reason it out is really what you want to be trying to do here, because you don't know, because you don't use technology the way they do.
So sort of piggyback on that, ask questions, really listen. Don't jump in,
right,
and tell them they're wrong. Don't be aware and appreciate that you have reactions that you don't need to share with them. And here's another tip. Listen, 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 listen. Learn, learn, learn. I often come back a day, a week later and say, you know, you said this thing. Can I ask a question about it? Because I've realized something else, and that gives them information. You know what they realize?
That you're listening. Right.
You don't have an agenda.
Right. Well, and I was going to say, and don't jump in with your experience either, because your experience is not really relevant.
Oh, that's so hard.
Right. But that's the mortgage thing, right?
Yeah.
What you're doing online is going to be different enough that you don't want to jump in with what you think about what they're talking about. You really want to just listen and go, oh, I hadn't thought about it that way. Kind of those kinds of phrases.
Another thing to do is say, yeah, I have a different experience. Would you like to hear it? And our kids have said no to me.
Yeah.
Which is great because they know I'm not going to take it personally.
Right. Which is part of the trustworthiness is that they can say what they want to say without worrying about whether it's going to hurt your feelings or cause a cascade of consequences in terms of your relationship with them.
Right. So how do you navigate social media with your adolescent child?
Yeah. So here's the practice for the week. It's the ABCs.
And you know, I added that one to the Plan P playlist because no one says it like Michael Jackson. So practice your ABCs. A is for appreciate. And you don't have to like it. Appreciation is just valuing,
right,
what others think. I can appreciate someone sharing their opinion with me. And I don't have to bark at them. And I don't have to tell them. I mean, I have people in my life, adults, who I don't agree with everything. But I appreciate that I have that relationship. It is of enormous value to have people in my life who I don't agree with.
Right.
So A is for appreciate, that your children are building their own knowledge base. And you can appreciate appreciate their perspective because they have a different one than you do. B is for belonging.
Mm-hmm. It's what they want to do. And it's what we want to do.
And you want them to know that you appreciate them and they belong in your family. They are part of your family, even as they go down this new road that they get to pay, that they get to learn, that they get to fall into their own ditches on the side and call for help.
Yeah. And they will still belong after they've fallen into a ditch or discovered they're in a rut.
Yeah. And C is for courage, because really courage comes from the heart, as I am fond of reminding people. It takes a great deal of heart, a great deal of love to trust and be trustworthy, right? Not lie and say you trust them when you don't, but trust yourself to love them, to appreciate them, to love yourself. It takes a great deal of courage.
And to prepare them for the road.
Not the
it's
road
actually
for them.
Much braver to prepare them for the road than to try to prepare the road. To give them tools like resiliency so that when they hit a pothole, they can keep going.
Right. So listen to our other previous podcasts on resilience and how you build that.
Right.
And understand that
you can't prepare for every circumstance. If you're preparing for circumstance, that's preparing the road. If you're preparing them to meet adversity, then that's preparing them for the road. And it takes great courage to do that because there's a implied letting go.
So ABC, 1, 2, 3.
Simple as. And remember, as always, change takes
so much time. It's constant.
And
so much patience. And even more
practice
your ABCs.
Thank you for tuning in to Plan P. We hope you enjoyed this episode and gained some valuable takeaways that you can practice this week. And remember, change takes time.
To stay connected with us and ensure you never miss an episode, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast with your friends, family, and other parents who could benefit from these discussions. Also, please be sure to leave us a review on Apple or Spotify, because that will help us reach more amazing parents like you.
If you want to talk to us one-on-one or learn other ways in which we support families, visit our website at planp.us. You can also keep up with Plan P on Instagram and TikTok at Plan P is 4.
We will meet you back here next week.